letters DOA and a handwritten number, the same one that had been on the form I had altered. This was too good an opportunity to miss. I took the tag off the toe of the most badly battered nail corpse and substituted mine. His tag I pocketed, then spent a merry few minutes changing around all the other tags. During this process, I took a right shoe from the corpse with the biggest feet and jammed my frozen left foot into it. All the tags were hung from the left big toe, and I loudly cursed such needless precision. My chest was bare where my ship suit and bulletproof cover had been cut away. One of my silent friends had a warm shirt he didn't need, so I borrowed that too. Don't think for a second that all this was easy. I was staggering and mumbling to myself while I did it. When it was finished, I slapped off the light and cracked the door of the freezer. The air from the hall felt like a furnace. There wasn't a soul in sight, so I closed the vault and staggered over to the nearest door. It was to a storeroom, and the only thing there that I could use was a chair. I sat in this as long as I dared, then went looking again. The next door was locked, but the third one opened to a dark room where I could hear someone breathing evenly in his sleep. This was more like it. Whoever this sack-time artist was, he surely knew his sleeping trade. I rifled the room and fumbled with the clothes I found, and put them on clumsily, yet he never heard a sound. Which was probably the best thing for him, because I was in a skull-fracturing humor. The novelty of this little affair had worn off, and all I could think about was the pain. There was a hat, too, so I put this on and checked out. I saw people at a distance, but no one was watching when I pushed open an emergency exit and found myself back on the rain-drenched streets of Freiberbad. Chapter 12. That night and the next few days are hazy in the memory for obvious reasons. It was a risk to go back to my room, but a calculated one. The chances were good that Angelina didn't know of its existence, or even if she had found out, that she wouldn't have done anything about it. I was dead, and she had no further interest in me. This appeared to be true, because I wasn't bothered after I was in the room. I had the management send up some food, and at least two bottles of liquor a day, so it would look like I was on an extended and solitary bender. The rot gut went down the drain, and I picked a bit at the food while my body slowly recovered. I kept my aching flesh drenched in antibiotics and loaded with painkillers, and counted myself lucky. On the third morning, I felt weak, but almost human. My arm in the cast throbbed when I moved it. The black and blue marks on my chest were turning gorgeous shades of violet and gold. But my headache was almost gone. It was time to plan for the future. I sipped some of the liquor I had been using to flush out the plumbing, and called down for the newspapers of the past 3 days. The ancient delivery tube wheezed and disgorged them onto the table. Going through them carefully, I was pleased to discover that my plan had worked much better than should have been expected. The day after my murder, there had been items in every paper about it, grubbed from the hospital records by the slothful news hounds who hadn't even bothered to glance at the corpse. That was all. Nothing later about big hospital scandal and missing corpse, or suit brought because that's not Uncle Frim in the coffin. If my jiggery-pokery in the frozen meat locker had been uncovered, it was being kept a hospital family secret, and heads were rolling in private. Angelina, my sharpshooting sweetheart, must then think of me as securely dead, a victim of her own murderous trigger finger. Nothing could be better.